You're listening to Real Crime, the Movie Sleuth Podcast.
This is the Real Crime Podcast. I am the lovely Scott. And and across from me right now is the lovely Chris. And and then over in the other corner, because why am I always in the fucking corner, by the way?
You deserve to be in the corner.
You deserve to be in the corner. You're corner boy.
And in the other corner.
In the other corner is the most lovely person, the lovely Kirsten's here with us tonight.
Ding, ding, ding.
And we have, but even more lovely. I mean, this is like, what's the scale of lovely? Pristine?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll go with pristine.
Platinum.
Beautiful. In the studio tonight, we have the pristine platinum. Platinum coated.
I can't even look
at him right now. Aaron from Voyager 3.
Hello.
Is visiting us tonight. This is episode 16. Sorry, I had to mention that too, because Chris said he was going to fire me if I didn't. Say, no, it's episode 16.
It is.
You guys can't
That's
count.
Three times now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what episode is it?
It's episode
17.
It's going to be 17 by the time I keep doing this.
Yeah.
So,
son of a bitch.
So there we go. We really launched this off well again. So this week we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. There's a handful of things we wanted to cover. I just saw you a couple weekends ago.
Yes.
Out in Lansing. Unfortunately, and this is the jerk off that I am, I couldn't stay to see your guys' set.
You greeted us when we pulled up to play, and you ran out right when we were plugging in.
I didn't even stand there going, "Hey guys, have a great show." I was out of there way the hell
before we even unloaded the truck. We were eating tamales while we were driving away. Yeah, we were at East Lansing in Max, old band Forge. Back in the day, we used to play Max a lot, but it's been about 12 years since then.
Yeah.
So my current band, Voyager 3, was playing Lansing, and it was a cool little, not little, but a cool fest, Ogre Fest,
yeah,
which was like basically all metal, different styles of metal all day, and then us thrown in the middle.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, God, I don't know if we're going to go over with this crowd, but there's enough crossover audience, at least philosophically, as far as like our subject matter, our imagery, the things we are a big fan. We love metal, and that's almost all I listen to. We just don't happen to play it. But metal fans usually love horror and science fiction. You know, so we fit in a way, not necessarily sonically, but we said, you know, we'll just turn up a little bit and we'll just do our thing and play, and actually people liked it. It was really cool.
Well, there's an aggressive element to your music, though, too.
Yeah,
sure. It's hard-hitting.
It's heavy, but it's not.
Yeah, it just doesn't have, you know, it isn't like what people think of heavy, and that's all. I mean, we could talk all night about the word heavy, but, I mean, it's not what, well, it's a heavy band.
And it's not heavy all the time, but it gets heavy.
Yeah, but and that's what makes the stuff so interesting, though, too. I'm a huge soundtrack fan. That's what me and Greg, actually, your drummer, were talking about before you guys even got there. We were just chatting about soundtracks for movies and how interested we are. And of course, Greg's like, you know, since I've been doing this stuff, I've been getting a lot more interested in soundtracks for movies. And it's some of the most emotionally gripping music that you can really listen to, I think, especially if you're a big fan of the movie that it's, you know, been written for. So I know myself, like, I think, I don't know if I was talking to you about it or if I was talking to Greg about it, the Black Hole soundtrack. I don't know if
it was with Greg.
And we were just chatting about that. It's my all-time favorite sci-fi movie. And a big part of that, the reason for that is because of the soundtrack, because it's absolutely terrifying. And for Disney at the time, it was one of the darkest things I've ever saw.
Cool.
So when I listen to that soundtrack, I mean, it's obvious that you hear that music and then you can just get those pictures in your mind again.
Definitely.
So, you know, you can match all that stuff up. And I think that's what makes soundtrack music so much fun to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you've done a couple of projects with movies with some of your music, am I correct?
Yep, we did the soundtrack basically for, it's a short movie, Portal to Hell, 12 minutes with Rowdy Roddy Piper. It was the last thing he did. And I grew up watching Piper. I love him. He's one of my all-time favorites. And to to be involved in any way with him, it was amazing. So that was cool to have our music sitting there while he's doing his lines in the movie, and so that's cool. And we've also done some music for Jesse's movie,
Okay.
Helljackers.
Yeah. And part one. And I was I was watching that, and I was amazed at how he cut it together when he used our music, Doom Fortress Escape, for this scene. And I was like, oh my God, he really gets exactly what we're doing. Like, you know, we might have one song on an album that's maybe it's Doom Fortress Escape. And Doom Fortress Escape will have like maybe six parts. In my mind, those six parts would be all expanded and repeated and in a movie. They would, right. You know, it wouldn't just be one song straight through. It would be this theme for that scene, and then maybe it would be repeated later with a different instrument or a mm-hmm. different key or a different tempo. And Jesse actually cut that scene together where he didn't just play the song straight. He cut it and used it. He dropped it in for certain parts.
Like incrementally.
Incrementally.
That's sweet.
And paced it just perfectly. And I'm like, oh my God, he really understands what we're trying to do. It's there just to be pasted wherever you need it.
Yeah.
And then... you know, like it's like building up, and then it does this kick in, and the dude falls over. This guy's like sneaking around outside, and he falls over all these garbage cans.
Yeah, I've watched that.
Oh God, yep. It couldn't be more perfect. So I was really impressed with how Jesse put that together.
I watched the part one. He sent it to me a couple months ago to check this thing out. And I was blown away by that.
Yep.
I mean, the whole package I'm talking. I'm like, this is incredible, dude. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, this is incredible. Yeah, Do more. Get the work on this thing. Make it happen.
Right. Put it all together.
Yeah, I know he's working on it pretty religiously right now.
Yeah.
That's kind of his focus. You know?
He said he was working on part two.
Sweet.
Man, I had a lot of fun with that. I got to make a huge tub of blood, and that was one of the highlights of my life.
That's awesome.
Making fake blood?
Mm-hmm. Just a huge fucking tub of it. It's awesome.
Really? Cool.
How do you make fake blood?
We had corn syrup and red and black paint.
Yeah,
you gotta get it dark. A lot of corn syrup. It was so sticky, but it was awesome.
That stuff is awesome. It's tasty too. It's the most
mm-hmm.
disgusting sticky stuff to have on you. One of my bouts with doing like being in movies in like the late 2000s. I was part of a film called Heaven's Gate. I don't even know if it ever came out or not. But the deal was, is I was playing a very prominent zombie in the movie, mm-hmm. right? And what happens, we got to the shoot about 9 a.m. out in Wixom. Or no, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was Wixom. And they did us up at like 10 a.m. And then they were shooting all these other scenes. So literally, it was like 100 degrees out. It was really hot that day. And we're in the middle of this field waiting. And we're all covered in just this fake blood, mm-hmm. right? For literally 8 hours. They didn't shoot me until like 7 o'clock at night. So by that time, I mean, my arms just wouldn't even move. I was like, just like entombed in this stuff, right? It was. And then they put me in a bunch of hay with goat shit in it. They say, oh, we cleaned the goat shit up. Don't worry about it. They dump me. I fall over the chair like I'm supposed to. And I'm face to face with a pile of goat shit. I'm like, really, guys? I mean, cut.
That's movie magic right there, man.
Yeah, the guy told me, he's like, you know, you're going to get dirty. This is what's going to happen. And I mean, it was totally cool. It was a lot of fun. But that fake blood is absolutely horrible. I literally had to get hosed down. Like, there was no shower. I mean, there was a shower after, but there was a complete hosing down of everything.
Did you shower with the other people who were covered in blood, like just as a whole, like, little scene going there?
No.
You should have.
I asked, but they said no. We don't.
Yeah. See, if I'd been there, I would have just done it with you.
Yeah. Let's shower up like a football team.
So when it would have been an orgy of blood, is what you're saying. Mm-hmm.
That was 2000. You said
it was like 2008.
I wasn't married yet, so I would have done it.
Oh. You know,
but fake blood is gross. It is horrible. And to have it on you for that long, I don't know. I've seen you see some of these horror films, especially. Some of these blood fests they have, and mm-hmm. and that's what I think about all the time is that stuff that I've done, and I'm like, God, that's the worst shit ever, man. That's not fun to be in all that stuff. But it is fun. Yeah, it is fun.
It can get really cold too.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you guys were shooting in the winter, or no? Probably.
And also the environment that we were in, the place we were shooting some of it was just really cold by itself too.
Yep.
And then we got just blood all over, and some outfits heavy duty. Some people were sweating. Some people were cold sweating. So. Yeah.
Gross. But yeah, we were going to talk about horror tonight too, especially with blood. I mean, that's a good way to go into this. And we had a couple ideas about this. I mean, one of the things, and I said this before the show, just last night, I just was looking for some background noise just because I was doing some reading and writing.
Masturbation.
I was masturbating. Yeah, okay, fine. It's out.
With and fake blood.
With fake blood.
Exactly. Sticky. Cold.
And he had to hose himself off.
Sticky cold.
12 o'clock
blood.
At night, I'm in the back with a hose by myself.
Crying.
The moon.
Crying. Why do I do this?
New Brad is next door going,
New Brad.
I love you, Scott. That's a badass.
You know, when I bought my house, like it was like 5 years ago now, I had a nightmare. Like the first week I was there, I actually had this crazy nightmare where something was stomping on the roof of my house. Ooh, I kid you not.
Good. That's good.
And it was so convincing that I actually got up.
Sweet.
And walked through the path, like out the, like out of Florida room. I walked through the Florida room into the backyard and was looking on the, and it was like one of those nights with like, it was windy.
Yeah.
And it had like a full moon in the sky.
Oh, perfect.
And I'm up there looking at the roof of the freaking house going, and then it kind of snapped like, dude, Jesus, you were just having a nightmare. You know,
all in your head. See that? There was a Twilight Zone about that.
So yeah. then I got the fake blood. And then I jerked off, and then I hosed myself. That's how I started doing that. I've been doing it like that ever since.
In the backyard. Because you don't want to make too big a mess.
Yeah, I just put up these privacy fences now, too, so it's really rad. Like, nobody can see shit. Oh, man. It's really cool. Yeah,
and the moonlight hits you just right.
I think we're writing an actual horror film right now on the air. Like, alive. Like, we're doing, like, the Kevin Smith thing with Tusk.
You know, of course it turns out that it's you who's on the roof stomping.
Yes.
And it's because...
And that's how it ends.
It's because your private fence... doesn't let anyone see you jerking off with the fake blood, so you go on the roof so people can see you.
This is the reason I'm never going to let my mom ever listen to this podcast. We talked about this recently.
That's funny, because I listened to this podcast with your mom in bed last week.
Score one, Chris.
Thank you.
Scott, zero. Okay, so, yeah, I watched Saw last night, and it's god-awful. Did it make, like, 20 of those things?
There's 27. Seven.
No,
there,
really?
There was like, there was nine.
No,
there's
no.
Seven.
Okay.
Seven? Was it seven?
Yep.
Okay. So.
I think they
could have stopped earlier, but they could have definitely stopped after four when the guy Jigsaw actually died.
Yeah, yeah.
There was no need.
Well, he was dead in three.
Was he? Yeah.
He died in three. They slit his throat in three. But part four, he was kind of like, I'm still alive. And
yeah,
my work
that's
will
right.
go on.
Yeah.
With Tobin Bell, you know. It's one of those franchises where it came out so strong. I mean, the first Saw I thought was phenomenal. It was brilliant. It was really groundbreaking at the time. And and the first like two, three were cool. Three, you know, was the one where it was kind of like all the people running around the house and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that was fun also. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those ones that I think just has went out. Isn't there talk about them
like bringing it back somehow? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll disagree with you guys. Honestly, I've got a few of the Saw movies, but the first one, it's a modern classic.
Yeah.
That movie came out and it changed the way we watched horror at that time.
It did.
And we got the Hostel movies and all that stuff around the same time. Mm-hmm. That whole torture porn thing and the device torture porn stuff got really big at that time.
Yeah.
And all of it came on the tail of Saw for the most part. But after even number two, it was old. It was already old hat to me.
Really?
Yeah. It died.
I thought the story was interesting. I mean, I was more interested in the story of what was going on and how they were kind of trailing back with each installment to other, you know, earlier installments. So I liked how the story was linking together. That was what I found the most interesting part. I really, to be honest with you, and I've said this before, this whole torture porn thing and all the device porn device porn. I went fucking right out there.
Yeah.
But all the, you know, all the torture stuff you see in those films and whatnot, it really turns me off. That's not what I'm focused on with those movies. I think it's a really cool story. But even after four, like you said, Kirsten, I was kind of going, okay, really, do we need to keep doing this thing? And now we're talking about a reboot. We know it's going to be a friggin' reboot,
oh, yeah.
Right?
I kind of went both ways about Saw with that. I did enjoy the story, but then, yeah, after three or four, they definitely could have stopped. And I also did enjoy the devices. After a while, it did get repetitive.
They were creative.
Yeah,
at
first, you know,
from an engineering standpoint, they're very cool.
Yeah, right? And I picture myself in it, be like, would I be able to get out of that? Anything with my teeth, I would not be able to get out of. But, you know, if I have to, like, stab my eye out to get a key, I'll try it, you know? If not, I'm dead. So I might as well try. But anything with my teeth, no, I'm just dying. I'm not even going to try.
No.
I had a friend.
With my teeth.
I had a friend back when, I don't know what number they were on, 6.
Yeah.
And I checked out after 2, I think. I loved the first one.
Yeah, first
second one, I was already kind of losing interest. But I was done. And then my friend was like, no, man, you have to watch, like, you have to watch them all. And I'm like, a little too open-minded, because I had not considered it until he started trying to sell me on it. He's like, once you get to 6, it all makes sense. And I'm like, do I have the time or inclination to, on the strength of his recommendation? He's the only one who's told me how good they are.
Yeah.
Am I going to go watch them all again? And, you know, I mean, watch the first 2 again and then watch all the rest of them just to see if it's good. And I couldn't do it.
No, I mean, because really it is. It is torture.
It's also that's also a very large investment of time.
Yeah.
Too. That's the biggest problem, I think. And if you're not really, if you're not jiving after 2,
no.
I don't blame you for saying, hey, man, look, thanks for the recommendation, but I'm just not going to do this.
Yeah. And if I had watched them and they had been crappy, what would I have had to do to that guy?
Right.
Like, trap him somewhere?
Well, the funny thing is,
I want to play a little game.
Yeah.
Years ago, when I first started the site, I had a column that I was doing that was Second Chance Sundays, where on Sunday nights, I would rewatch a movie I hated.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all my friends were like, why the fuck are you doing that? It doesn't make any sense. And I'm like, what do you mean it doesn't make any sense? I'm taking a movie that I hated the first time I saw it, and I'm rewatching it and reviewing it. And they're like, dude, you hated it the first time. Why do you think you're going to like it the second time? And they were right. And that's the same thing with the Saw movies. Like, I hated them the first time. Why am I going to put myself through that shit just to hate it all over again? It's pointless.
The thing is, though, is I actually like that idea. Because, I mean, here's a good example. I think we mentioned somehow Napoleon Dynamite got brought up last weekend. And the first time I saw that, you know, Amber Rose said, hey, you need to watch this. This is the greatest movie ever. And I watched it, and I was fucking burnt out on it, like, in 15. I'm like, this is dumb. I hate this movie. I can't stand it. But I sat through it, and I was just sitting there scratching my head going, this is ridiculous. This is stupid. But then I did go back. I did the same thing you did mentally and said, you know what? I just want to watch this movie again because maybe there's something I'm not getting here. Maybe I need to just open up and try this movie again. And I tried it again, and I got the dryness of it. I got the goofiness that was under those layers of just dryness, right? Yeah. And then I love the movie now.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. For me, I don't think I could do that with a movie I hated, but a movie I was lukewarm on, mediocre, I could rewatch. I have rewatched movies and gone, oh, no, I get it now. But if I really hated it, Batman and Robin, for instance.
Yeah. What's the point?
There's no way I'm ever going
to. Yeah, there's no redeeming quality to that movie whatsoever in the first place.
Yeah, so. There's some films like the ones that Chris likes to torture me with to make me review, such as Bunny. And I think I just battered the shit out of that movie. Because that isn't even a movie. That's just a collection of images with really crappy music mixed. I mean, I feel horrible saying that, right? But it just isn't a good movie. It just flat out is a terrible movie. It's in my collection now. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate that.
Put it on Amazon.
It would cost me more to put it on Amazon than what I would make on it, guaranteed.
Somebody will buy it.
That's a good example right there. I mean, that's just something like, okay, that thing's going to sit there. It's cataloged. It's archived. It's there. And maybe someday when aliens come here and we're all gone, they might go, hey, let's watch this. You know?
No.
This is terrible too. So that's when I won't go back and watch again, guaranteed. It's just that bad. But something like Napoleon Dynamite, like I said, there's something, I knew there was something going on there. I didn't like it initially, but I gave it another chance and I really enjoyed it after that. And I love that movie now. So
I think everybody had sort of that reaction with Napoleon Dynamite. I didn't dislike it, but I watched it and I felt like everybody was in on the joke but me. And I watched it and I thought it's okay, but I don't know what the big deal is. Yeah. But like 24 hours later, I'm like quoting it and I'm like, no, That was it. That was a good movie. That was funny.
It gets in your head. Yeah. And same thing. You know, that's pretty cool, I guess. Yeah. I mean, that over and over again, we say that at work all the time. That's pretty cool, I guess. You
right.
know, like, over. It's just a beautiful little line, those little things that stick out. You know, Uncle Rico, that character, that whole thing was just hysterical. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Give me one of your tots. Give me some of your tots or whatever. So, yeah, those are cool movies to check out. So I think you should start doing that thing again, Chris.
I don't know. I don't know if I can put myself
through it. Well, you hate my guts, so just put me through it.
How many did you do?
I think I did like 4 or 5.
Yeah, that's and you it did just, your time.
Yeah, it was just like, I just can't do this anymore. Like, because I'd watch them, I'd be like, oh, God. I hated it before. I hate it even more now.
For the same reasons.
For the exact same reasons. And then you start to dig out the other flaws, too. You know,
Yeah. You
hated it the first time.
Yeah.
Well, you're seeing all that shit. Well, guess what? There's even more.
You find more now. Yeah. Yeah. You're peeling the onion back even more now because you watched it once. Yeah. That could really have a bad effect on you, but I think it's still a cool idea. Maybe I'll start doing that.
Go right ahead.
You should.
I do this thing where
I go ahead.
I'll hear things about like new movies coming out or new whatever, and everyone's like going crazy about it, and I'm like, it's probably really fucking stupid. Like, I just hate it. I hate it right away, like without any reason, and I'll like not watch it on purpose. But then eventually, somehow, when someone gets me to watch it, I'm like, dude, this is the best thing ever. I love it.
I did that with the Boondock Saints. Everybody in the world was telling me how amazing the Boondock Saints was, and I kept blowing it off, going, "Fuck you guys! I'm no conformist. I'm not gonna watch that stupid movie. I'm sure it's dumb. It's just about mean people and blah 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 blah." And my buddy brought it over one night and said, "Dude, you really need to watch this." And this was like, so I'm a late comer to that movie. It was like 2003 when I saw it. I think it came out like 98, 99 or something.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I sat there, and then 10 minutes into the movie, I'm going, dude, what the hell was I thinking? This movie's so much fun. I love it, right?
I'm still there. I have not watched that movie because people have made too big a deal out of it. And I feel like...
So you're in the same headspace that I was in.
I'm still there all these years later. I've had people try to make me borrow it, and they're like forcing me to take it. I'm like, I'm not going to watch that movie. I'm probably missing out on a damn good movie.
It's a good movie. I mean, it's not like a life-changing experience by any means.
I think it's a lot of fun, though.
It's no Green Lantern.
Hell yeah. Oh,
come on, dude.
I mean, Sinestro, come on, dude.
It's not Mark Strong. It's not Shrek.
Which one?
The first one.
The first one. Yeah.
There is only one Shrek.
There's a lot like Napoleon Dynamite. The Boondock Saints has so many great one-liners that me and my roommate that lived with me, we both were in the same thing. We both never saw it. So when we watched it, we're like, you know, so all we did was basically quote that movie for like a year after that to each other, you know, because it just has so many great little hooky lines like that, like Napoleon Dynamite did. It kind of pulls you in the same way.
That's cool.
You know, one movie, going back to horror.
Well, that's
we're doing everything else but horror. Yeah.
I know. I was going to start talking about quotable movies.
Yeah. Going back to horror, though, one of the, you know, as far as like a franchise, we all know and love The Exorcist, right? Part two, speaking of god awful movies that I will never watch again. Yeah, that was horrendous.
The Heretic or whatever?
Yeah, The Heretic. It was horrendous.
It's like an acid trip, the entire movie. It's just scenes thrown together. The story sucks my balls through a straw. And it literally, it hurts bad. It's painful.
And there's a million and one exorcism movies out now. If you look on Netflix, it's The Exorcism of Emily Rose. The Exorcism of.
Well, that's what I was saying. There was part two. Part three, I don't know if you guys ever saw part three.
Which one was part three?
That's the one that had Brad Dourif in it. Edward C. Scott.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I mean, it was a different... I mean, it tied in with part one in a really cool way, I thought. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend that movie. And it's got some really kick-ass jump scares. For that time, it's got some really, like... It scared the shit out of me the first time I saw it. So I highly recommend that one. And then, of course, we went into... What was it? There was, like, the pre-one. The
Exorcist for the beginning.
The beginning, yeah.
But when they were making The Exorcist 4, the studio didn't like the original cut of the movie, so they actually made 2 Exorcist 4s. I don't know if you guys knew that or not. One got released in the cinema, And then I can't remember if the other one got released too or not, but they're both available on DVD, and they're both The Exorcist 4, but they're both two completely different stories. And there's different people in them too.
Different cast, everything.
Yeah.
That's release date, how far apart were they?
They came out within like the same year and a half of each other.
Weird.
I don't know which cut I saw. I know I saw the one that came out initially, so I guess I saw the first one, right? I don't know about the second one. I've never saw that. But those films, I mean, the original Exorcist, as we all know and love, it is probably the apex of that idea, like that concept of what an exorcism is. If you have, I've talked to my mother about this too, and she's like, that movie literally just, I couldn't watch. I saw it one time, and she's like, it scarred me to this day. I can't watch I can't watch movies like that anymore because of that movie. Now, mind you, my mom's she's a lightweight when it comes to horror, but it shows you the effect and how far that movie reached out back when it first came out too. And that was a pretty huge film.
That movie messed my dad up, and he was a Vietnam vet, so
there you go. So I think, and this is going on what you were talking about, Kirsten, there in the last 5 or 6 years, there has been this just rash, and I'll call it a rash because they're not very good, of all these exorcisms, the exorcism of Emily Rose, the exorcism of, I feel like I said before, there's one I just saw yesterday on Netflix.
Yeah.
The exorcism of Molly something, somebody.
Like you said, the exorcism of Molly Ringwald.
Molly Ringwald.
I think they got her to do it.
I think so.
But there's other ones too. I mean, I can't think of the other ones.
The Last Exorcism 1 and 2.
Yeah, okay, there's those ones also. So and I know there's more out there too, probably way more lower budget films.
Every year there are one or two. I don't know why that concept is being so ground into the dirt.
It doesn't make any sense. Well, I think it's ground into the dirt because they know they're going to make some money no matter what.
That's the only reason, because if you were any type of director or writer who had any integrity whatsoever, you would say right off the bat, okay, look, I want to write a movie about an exorcism. I have seen the original Exorcist. I'm not saying me, I'm just saying this person. I've seen the Exorcist. You can't do that again. You can, you can do that again, but you'll never get that mood. You'll never get that. You'll never get the way it looks. You'll never get that kind of horror. I won't say it's all a happy accident, but there's a lot of planets that have to align for something that special to happen, I think. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened with The Exorcist. Another thing too, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on this show. I bought that was like in 2000 when it came out. There was that version, The Exorcist, the version you've never seen, right? Mm-hmm. And it had a bunch of deleted material. And I know I've talked to other people about this, where it has the spider walk scene where she walks backwards down the stairs, which is really, and there's other little pieces that really
with practical effects, so it actually looks really cool.
They cut in the demon faces here and there, and there's additional scene. Well, there's other like actual sequences that were added. What I found the coolest about this little DVD set, though, was the actual, they do, and we see this on all DVDs now, like director commentary. They'll talk through the whole damn film, put you to sleep, right? Mm-hmm. William Friedkin, who directed The Exorcist, he does a talk over, a director commentary.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the damn creepiest thing I have ever seen. Mm-hmm. I actually prefer to see the film this way now, with him talking over, because it isn't your typical, like a lot of director's commentaries that I've heard are, we tried to use a wide angle here, and it's technical things, which is really cool. It's interesting stuff. Where William comes at it with, especially like in the actual scenes with Father Karras there, he's like, he looks down at the girl and he has so much love for her. And he loves this girl so much unconditionally. And you're like, he's pulling you in emotionally.
Typical Catholic priest, except she's not a little boy.
But no, he pulls you in even more emotionally than you were without him telling you about that.
Yeah.
It kind of cues you in on things. So that whole trip, that whole box set, I highly recommend also to people. But that whole ball of wax, everything with The Exorcist, all these. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, I've got my facts straight on this Exorcist 4 thing now.
Okay, yeah, let's hear that.
Okay, so in 2004, a prequel was released. It was Exorcist: The Beginning, That was the second version of the prequel film that was made at the time as the first version. The first one was directed by Paul Schrader, but was deemed unsatisfactory by the studio upon completion, and the entire project was refilmed by fucking Rennie Harlan.
Jeez.
Okay, really? So that was the first one that got released, but then after that, the Schrader version was released in 2005 to theaters also. So
why didn't they just scrap it? They didn't.
I don't know.
I don't get that.
Well, because they didn't want to lose the money they spent producing it. You know,
studio scrap movies all the time.
Yeah, but the second one in 2005 was retitled Dominion, prequel to The Exorcist.
But that's the one.
Both of them did star Stellan Skarsgård. So I was wrong about a different cast.
All right.
Yeah. So. Sorry. Wow. I was wrong on my facts.
Well, that's crazy that they were two completely different versions. I would have thought it would have been, extra scenes added in or recut and reshaped.
Yeah.
But a completely different version is, that's kind of unheard of.
And I've seen both of them.
Yeah.
And they are totally different. Mm-hmm. Totally different.
I don't get it. Well.
And why the fuck would you hire Rennie Harlan? Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. Even at that point, he was already done.
Well, yeah. I mean... Cutthroat Island basically ended his career.
Right.
But why are we seeing this rash, and I'm going to say rash again, of all these exorcism type films? I don't really understand. Again,
it's easy. It's easy. That's why.
It is.
You ask the question,
right.
Why
you're,
are they making these movies,
right.
And why do they continue to make these movies?
Yeah.
They're all the same. All they have to do is change the name, change the people that star in them, make a good-looking trailer, and the 17- and 18-year-old kids are going to pay a ticket price to see that because they think they're seeing a scary movie. However, they're just seeing the exorcism of Molly Ringwald all over again 20 times. It's always the same shit.
I just watched one, and the only reason I watched it because it had Anthony Hopkins in it. It was an exorcism, and of course, I forgot the damn name of the movie.
Last Rite.
Thank you. Which
the
was a cool flick, actually. It was Anthony
it.
Hopkins. That guy can never do any wrong for me. Mm-hmm. But again, it was just another type of exorcism film. I mean, much way better done. I mean, there was a lot more money thrown at it, so it was more palatable. But still, another exorcism type film. And you're right, Chris. I guess that does answer the question.
They're all the same. I mean, seriously. And like Aaron said earlier, we got The Last Exorcism and then The Last Exorcism 2. Like, really?
We were joking the first time.
Yeah, really, if you're going to call it The Last Exorcism and then The Last... I mean, that's just such a weird play on words for me. Like,
yeah.
The Last Exorcism again.
The first one was a lie.
Again.
This time we mean it.
It's on Netflix now, a movie, Hush.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I liked it. But
you reviewed
it,
didn't you, Chris?
Yeah, I reviewed it.
Go ahead, Kristen. Sorry.
I liked it. I just, towards the end, I felt like it was very repetitive where she would get him once and then run away and get him once again and then run away.
Did you see this film, Aaron?
No.
Oh, yeah, that was probably a spoiler.
You'd dig it.
No, it's okay.
Well, we don't want to spoil it for you, but yeah, I would highly recommend. No, we're not going to.
Okay.
No, I'm not going to. But definitely, if you get a chance, it's a really great horror flick.
It was good.
It's a different play. It's a different idea.
Yeah, I liked the concept.
Yeah.
It was very interesting.
Yeah.
Hush kind of actually, it's a horror film, but I kind of felt like it was a throwback to like the 90s thrillers.
Yeah.
It was an amalgamation of horror and thriller.
Well, it was very suspenseful. It's not very gory in any way whatsoever. It's just more of a suspense type horror movie with ideas that really disturb you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you don't see them play out, but there's just these ideas. And that's what made it really cool for me. And the actual concept of it was what really pulled me into.
You know what it actually really reminded me of?
Your mom.
And that was a bad one, though. You don't get any points for that shit.
Hush.
It actually kind of reminded me of Wait Until Dark. That starred Audrey Hepburn and Richard Crenna.
Okay.
Where she was handicapped in the apartment by herself. And, you know, all the evil goings on are going on around her.
Mm-hmm.
And despite her handicap, she has to fight off the villains.
Mm-hmm.
That's very
same
much.
Same type of
movie. Very same type of movie. Except Hush was obviously a little more violent than something that was put out in the 60s.
That's the type of horror that I'm really enjoying nowadays, though. I mean, and I've said this before on the show. I guess it's because I'm getting older now and I don't have the cast iron stomach I used to have to be able to handle watching some of this horrible shit that these directors do now. I really am into a really great idea. And it can be a disturbing idea that really messes your head up, right? But an idea that, you know, and it goes back to that whole concept of let your brain do the work, let, you know, imply things and let your mind, because it really does. It really does make it more, it has more of an effect on me than actually seeing full on, well, here's what we're going to do to you, you know, and then you see all this horrible shit happen. I guess it's a bit trite for me now, but people still love that. I mean, there's a whole community of gore hounds that just want to see gallons of blood pour, and that's cool. I guess it's fine. It's just not what I'm looking for, and that's why I like Hush so much, because it was, it didn't have all the. It was violent, yeah, but it wasn't like really over the top for me. It was more of an idea concept that I thought was really cool.
Mm-hmm. I can agree with that.
Speaking of interesting concepts, what do you guys think about The Purge?
Well, Chris, this is all yours.
I thought it'd be a great discussion topic.
No, it is good. No, it's good.
I enjoyed the first Purge. I thought it was pretty good. The funny thing is, the first time I saw that movie, it came out like near the end of the school year, and me and Brian went to see it together, and we went to the theater at 15 Mile and Van Dyke, the MJR, and like MJR.
Can somebody explain to me what the hell the clapping thing is? I just clapped. You've been to the MJR, obviously. Yeah. And they do the themes. I mean, I don't mean to cut you off.
Dude, every time the clapping happens, like, I'm like, fuck you all.
Does anybody know where that shit came from, though?
I think it's all just based on that spot in the music.
I guess it is. It's just that, it's those three accents and
saxophone or whatever.
Someone did it once, and then someone was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I'm going to pretend I started that.
The day that theater opened, somebody thought of it.
Oh, it's so bad.
Chris, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, man.
I mean, I liked the Purge movies. I actually kind of liked the second one better than the first one. Because I really liked the guy that was in the movie.
The blonde guy was creepy as fuck.
Yeah, it just, something about the second one was better. I liked that they were like downtown and it was more exterior shots and we weren't just trapped in the house the entire time. I'm not really sure how I feel about a third one. I don't know that it's necessary, but again, they're going to make money and teenagers are going to pay to go see it. So, and then they can put the Blu-ray out 5 weeks after it's in the movie theater and they're just going to make money hand over fist. And I guess they're continuing some of the characters from the second one in the third one. So maybe it'll connect a little bit better. I don't know. They're not great. You know, they're not high art by any means. They're not my favorite horror movies, but they're decent. They're decent enough.
I never saw The Purge. That's why I gave you the floor.
Oh, okay.
But it was, and it was like another one of those ideas like we were talking about a minute ago, Aaron, where it's like, oh my God, I have friends. Like, you have to see The Purge. It's incredible. I'm like, ah, fuck that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see that movie. And I'm sure it's probably, if I saw it, I'd be like, oh my God, Chris, you're so wrong. It's not just an okay film. It's amazing.
If anything, like, not even for the horror effect or, like, acting, I just think it's just a very interesting concept to think about.
It is. It is.
Horror, I mean, we've covered the whole exorcism thing, and I'm still, I mean, I get it now, Chris. Thanks for the education, by the way.
You're welcome.
I guess that's why these are flying around like that, and, you know, but then you have, like, the Taking of Deborah Logan, which is kind of a play on that idea, and I know we both love that movie. That's the name of it. Yeah, The Taking of Deborah Logan.
Yeah.
Did you see that, Aaron?
No, I want to. Okay. I have it on my queue.
It's so good. You have to see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible. Take it, that really sit down and watch it. You'll love it.
Spinning off of that, you know, I interviewed Adam Robitaille that directed The Taking of Deborah Logan. He's actually directing the next Insidious movie.
No shit.
Ooh. Yeah, so I'm kind of like relieved that somebody else is going to pick up that franchise.
James Wan who's doing those.
Yeah, so he's off of these now, and they actually hired Adam off of his work on the last Paranormal Activity movie. He worked as a producer and I think co-directed or something like that. But he's actually doing the next Insidious. That kind of gives me a little bit of hope that
I've enjoyed all of them.
they're cool movies.
I like it. It's another one of those examples, and it's James Wan, so it's a, you know, he did Saw, right? They kind of hook back into each other. Each installment kind of goes back, and I thought that was really neat, especially how they were doing in part two with, like, how there's a ghost in there, and you're seeing, you know, in part two, you're seeing what the ghost is actually doing. I thought those ideas were fascinating. And I've always, in part three, I enjoyed all three of those. So if they're going to be doing a four, I'm looking forward to that, actually.
The only thing I didn't like about the third Insidious was it was extremely short. It was super, super short. As soon as the movie got going, it like ended. And I was kind of like, it feels a little short. They could have added another 25 minutes to that movie.
You think so?
Yeah, it would have been a lot better.
Part three?
Yeah. And the only other issue I take with the Insidious movie is, man, I'm just bitching up a storm tonight. Dude, they're poltergeist. I mean, there are so many ideas.
Oh, yeah.
In the Insidious movies taken directly from Poltergeist.
I didn't say it was groundbreaking. I just said I enjoyed it.
Yeah, there's just some points where I'm like, come on, come up with something new.
Yeah.
Change it up a little bit.
But the characters, I mean, the first one, that character really Patrick did.
Wilson.
Yeah, it did really kind of, whoa, holy shit, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I like the look of that look guy was really in the first cool. one. Yeah. And I liked the approach they used, which instead of having him jump out at you, the camera just pans across the room and the fucker's standing did I just see that? Oh yeah, there he is. Mm-hmm. He's right there. That kind of stuff. I like where they can just place him there instead of always having to have it some sort of trick, you know?
Or a jump scare.
Yeah, jump scare.
They scare you, yeah, but no.
When somebody's going to wash their face and they look down from the bathroom mirror and mm-hmm. you know when they look up there's going to be some, but come on,
yeah,
not
yeah.
again, yeah. you know?
Yeah, stop doing this shit over and over and over.
Well, that idea again. You were talking about, Aaron, with, you know, where the camera turns and there, you know, you don't see it all mm-hmm. the time.
Right.
I mean, that's a class, I mean, it's not, I don't even know how you would classify that mentally, but I mean, from all the paranormal crap I was a part of, we did a lot of research on pictures and photos. And there, I can say, I only on one hand that I ever experienced this, where we were looking at something that was shot, and we'd be scanning the photo, like we'd scan it and really drive in on it to see details. And there were a couple of photos where it was that idea, where whoa,
right.
What the hell is that? It's right. Something anomalous, right? And it scared the crap out of me, but not like in a horror movie kind of way. Like, oh my God, I didn't see that before. That's really disturbing. It's that same idea, though, with the movie. Like, you don't see it initially, and then wham, there it is, right?
Right.
I mean, Alien, they used that idea so well with literally the xenomorph was camouflage.
Right.
I mean,
he's right there.
It's part of the structure.
You don't even know until you see it the third time.
It moves.
That's not a pipe. That's his head. He's right there.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I don't care who you are those scenes from, you know, Aliens, or, you know, part two, when those things were coming out, when you just see him kind of come out, literally. Come out of the wall.
Right.
I scream my head off. Like, oh my God, that's right there. Get out of there.
And it's creepier when they do it slowly, when they just unfold their arms, you know? Instead of just jumping out, it's like that's the confidence they have, you know, and they just kind of place themselves there and you're fucking dead.
Well, I mean, you brought up a very good point there about confidence. I think a lot of these newer directors don't have that. Mm-hmm. I don't think they have the confidence in creating a dynamic. They don't have confidence in creating something that's truly dark and horrific.
Yeah.
Instead, they choose to show everything. Right. We have to throw everything at the camera mm-hmm. all the time to try and keep people happy. Mm-hmm. Myself, I would rather watch a horror movie that doesn't show everything. Mm-hmm. I would rather watch The
that's
Thing.
That's what I said.
Yeah. I would rather watch The Thing and experience what's actually going on and feel like I'm in that scene instead of just like jump scare after jump scare, CGI bullshit, you know. Nobody creates.
What is it, VHS? The first, have you seen VHS?
Yeah, yeah.
The first VHS? Yep. They're fun. I mean, the VHS 2, and I think there's a 3 also now.
Yeah, I think so.
They're fun, but it's a classic example of this really aggressive horror, I'll call it. It's extremely aggressive. The cameras are just bouncing everywhere. There's so much action at all times, and it's fun. I mean, get me wrong, I don't dislike it, right? But it's still just really aggressive. There's no mood to it whatsoever. It's just chaos all the time.
Well, it's that found footage style where you have to be moving.
Yeah, it's that's
at all
exactly
times where I want to vomit after a while.
Yeah, and I I've always said like the first like half an hour of Saving Private Ryan when I saw that in the theater, I was ready. I was this close to vomiting because it was the same running camera all over the place. And I mean, yeah, at the time that was like a total breakthrough with film. Like that was never done before. But it made me nauseous. A lot of like the Saw films did too. The like Saw 3 and 4. When I saw those in the theater, I remember like literally getting nauseous from all like the high speed back and forth, all the quick editing they did, right? And like a movie like Alien we're talking about, that is a truly mood. I mean, especially the first one. God, we've talked about it here before. That's a, I mean, and I they quote, I know I'm pulling a quote from them. They said, "We tried to literally make a haunted house in space." And the mood that film has, you're on the edge of your seat. You are literally white-knuckled the whole time through that movie. That's, and yeah, we see the monster, right? But you don't really see the monster. You just see glimpses of a monster. And that's enough for me. I like that mystery. That's why I know we've talked about Alien Resurrection on here, too.
Oh.
Because that...
Fuck my life.
That's another one of the worst movies of all
time.
Yeah,
totally. Because the most insulting part of that movie to me was literally because they took all the mystery and the darkness out of the xenomorph.
Now they made him into a joke.
They made him into a pet that they could control, which, you know, as we all saw.
My beautiful, beautiful baby.
Yeah, fucking
baby.
Brad Dourif. Come on, dude.
Dude, come on.
Cut that shit out.
Yeah.
They took all the darkness out of that monster. But that's really, yeah, that's the horror I like too, Chris. I want something with mood. I want to feel something. I want to root for somebody. I do want to root for somebody, like, you know, and feel like, okay, maybe good did, or maybe evil did win, or whatever, right? But you root for somebody, and I don't feel that with these movies now. It's just kind of there, and there's these people putting it in an environment, and the camera's very jittery. It's all this first-person shit now. And
I love horror movies where evil wins. I love it. Too. I think it's great when they go against the norm and try and create something new. I mean, that's been done a million times now, too.
Yeah.
But sometimes when the bad guys win, hey, you know what? It's a little twist. It's a little spin, you know?
Yeah.
So going off of what we've been talking about this whole time, really, what are some of the best horror franchises?
Well, this wasn't a franchise, but I was thinking The Babadook when we were talking about, like...
Don't say that.
That was a good movie.
You liked it? Was,
yeah.
Right, go ahead. I'm going to shut up then. Go ahead.
No, I liked just, that. That was just shit. All I was saying.
Yeah, I liked it. It's not a franchise, though.
Yeah, it's not a franchise, but it was in my head, so I wanted to.
Yeah, it was very cool. Very cool, the point of view kind of twisting throughout that movie.
I guess it was just a kid that drove me nuts. And yeah, I'm not a parent.
Oh, yeah. But I think that was the point, though, you know? Yeah. He was supposed to annoy you.
He was supposed to really...
Wasn't it where he's supposed to annoy you, and then sort of halfway through you go, wait a minute, he's
You're
right.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Well, yeah. He was. He was like not... He was on, and... The rest of the world was crazy. Right. It wasn't him.
Yeah. No, the first half of the movie, I'm like, fuck kids. I'm never going to have a kid. Oh, God. But then you know, at the other half, I'm like, oh, he's cute. Like, you know.
This kid is our last hope.
I'm going to take total shit for this, but you asked about franchises.
Yeah.
The Prophecy franchise. Okay. I don't know if you guys have seen The Prophecy or not.
I have.
The first one.
The first three had Christopher Walken. And those were, to me... are some of my favorite, like, and I guess they are considered horror movies, like, you know, end times, apocalyptic horror.
Yeah, they're horror.
I think those first three. Now there was a 4 and 5, okay. And if you want to get into this, you want to get really nerdy with this, part 4, that was Forsaken, or no, that was part 5. Damn it, they're hard to. So there was part 4 of The Prophecy, and then there was. Hellraiser part 7, Deader, I think. I might be mixing them
up. Yeah,
They literally filmed both these movies at the same time, in the same place. So if you watch those movies, you'll see almost the exact same cast.
So cheap sequels.
Cheap sequels.
No budget
sequels. And that's what it was. Somebody bought the Prophecy franchise, and they did 4 and 5, right? And they don't have Christopher Walken. I enjoy him because I like the Prophecy, and I'm rooting for those guys. I like those movies, right?
Just watch up my ass.
But no, the first three prophecies, as far as a franchise is concerned, they're my some of my top. I mean, I think that stuff, and I because I like movies about the apocalypse. I like films about angels. I think they're. I've always been had a thing for studying angels and whatnot. So to kind of see them get fleshed out. And see like somebody like Christopher Walken play Gabriel with his trumpet walking around and stuff like that. I think that stuff it's really prolific to me, and I think they're really cool movies. Now I know a lot of people don't share that the prophecy didn't the original prophecy, which was probably the most popular one, didn't do too well, and then the last two and three did even worse than that. And even Jennifer Beals was in part two, and I thought she was phenomenal in that.
Wasn't right? Danzig in one of them too?
Glenn Danzig was in part two. He was in part two, and he from the story that I got, he played Samael, the angel Samael, or Archangel. And from what I understand, he came on set and was such a dick.
And got his ass kicked.
He got knocked down. That was the other time. I guess he was such a pain in the ass that they were shooting scenes, and literally the directors just said, I'm done. I can't deal with you anymore. Just leave. So you see Danzig for about 2 seconds in the movie.
Yeah.
And he has a couple of lines like, hello, Daniel. How are you? Good to see you. And then he gets thrown out of a window and dies. Right. And that's all you see of Glenn Danzig and the prophecy too. But I thought that franchise, you know, it did unfortunately kind of fizzle out. The first three were just so strong. They were so great. The story was so cool. The way that part three ends literally had me like kind of like a little choked up a little bit. Really, really great franchise. Again, it's one of those sleeper ones. I suggest people watch that franchise.
I think you mentioned Hellraiser. It's hard for almost any horror. It seems like it's almost impossible for any horror franchise to really keep consistency going. Yeah. They don't ever have the same creative team or anything. No. Usually they don't.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them do, but I think the first two Hellraisers, and maybe even some of the, after that I lose track, but some of the other ones are pretty cool too, keeping that atmosphere going.
Yeah.
Also, what else was I just thinking? Who did keep the same creative person? Didn't all the Phantasm movies have the same?
You know, I'm not Coscarelli. Sure.
I'm not sure about
did he
that.
Do all those?
Phantasm two
was
the
did.
One.
I think he did. I think Coscarelli did. All
yeah,
the
I think
Phantasm
you're right.
Movies.
I think
that's,
you're right.
Really? I don't know when that ever happens, where the same creator. Well, the Dead movies, the Evil Dead.
Yeah.
You know what? That's my favorite.
Evil
franchise.
Dead's the shit.
You can't top that. Okay, now we're getting to the good stuff. What about the Night of the Living Dead, the Day of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead?
Yeah, all those.
Those are consistent with the same creator also. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key. If you have like the same person in charge, you know.
Well, yeah, they have a vision. I mean, let's go back to Hellraiser for a second. Obviously, the first and second Hellraiser, they're classics. To me, I think I may have said that here before too, is the second Hellraiser has got to be one of the bloodiest films I've ever seen. It's a complete fucking bloodbath. Mm-hmm. It's insane how many people get killed in that movie.
Right.
And then, yeah, you do go to part three where you have, you know, that was Hell on Earth. That was one with the bartender Cenobite and the CD player Cenobite.
Oh, my God.
And he's got a little goofy. Right?
Oh, my God. I remember, you know, I was a huge fan of Hellraiser 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Those movies connect so well together. It's all practical effects. Yeah. The mood is the same.
Yeah, it's all consistent.
The film grain, the texture of the movie all connects together. Mm-hmm. And then I remember Hellraiser 3, Hell on Earth came out, and we went and saw that on opening night.
Laughed our asses.
And I just remember being like, what the fuck did they do to Hellraiser?
Yeah.
This is now they've taken Hellraiser.
This isn't fucking Transformers, dude.
They,
stop that
well,
shit.
Well, they took Pinhead and the Cenobites, and they basically made a Nightmare on Elm Street sequel out of it. Pinhead's not really that scary anymore. Mm-hmm. Now he's kind of cracking some jokes. And the
do
Cenobites,
I look like someone who thinks about God?
It got really cheesy.
Well, my
really
whole thing was
fast.
Just the Cenobites themselves. Like I said, you got the CD player Cenobite. You got the
Camerahead.
You got Camerahead. That's what I'm saying. Of course, there was no Transformers movies back then, but there was Transformers comics, and they had that same idea, the toys, where they all had their own little unique thing. And I'm like, these are the fucking Cenobites, man, they're all going to have their own unique look like they did in the first two. You know, Chatterer, female Cenobite, all that stuff.
But that was a more practical look, too.
But they were all horrifying. They weren't funny. Like, oh, right. He's going to throw a CD at me and cut my head off. No. I mean, it's not scary.
No, it isn't.
It's not disturbing. It's not frightening in any way. Bloodline, that was the fourth one.
Craig Sheffer was in that one, right?
Yeah. I see it, and again, I'm one of those guys that really roots for Hellraiser, and I own all of them. I even like all the newer ones, except for Revelations Part 9. That's a piece of shit. I'm just speaking of bad movies. No, I'm avoiding that like the plague, dude. No way. And I've seen it. I did watch it, and I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. What? First off, where's Doug Bradley? Where the hell's Doug Bradley at here? There's some other more round-headed version of Pinhead on there. No, get away from me. Leave me alone. So,
yeah.
But there, yeah, you're right, Aaron. I mean, after two, all the way through, they all, and I even Inferno, like that's part five. And I think we've argued about that here. I really enjoyed Inferno. I thought it was a really cool drama. It wasn't a very gory film, but none of those films, I mean, it would be really great to see something like that. Like you'd see 10 installments of a franchise where you have the core visionary there at all times. He's there for every movie. To see a true story actually play out, you know, that would be really cool to see that. And it has happened. Like you're talking about the Evil Dead films, which was only three films essentially, right?
But luckily we get this... You know, the TV show now, which I think is right on the level with the old movies.
You know, I lost track of those after like the first two or three episodes.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bruce Campbell can do no wrong.
Right. Yeah.
He is Ash. He still plays the character right.
He rules.
I got to go and finish watching that,
yeah,
actually.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Is it?
That's kind of what I heard.
I don't see how you could get any more true and kind of right in line with those old movies, especially, you know, how the third one brought so much comedy into it. So it's not out of place in the show. There's a lot of comedy, but it's not, like, forced. It's the natural extension of that character and that story. And it's also got some really creepy, cool, gory things in it, just like the movies. So... very worthy successor to
the only movies. Thing I didn't like in the pilot was I remember somebody got shot or something in the first episode and it looked really CGI, but the Deadites on that Ash versus Evil Dead, like they look right out of the series.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It actually looks really, really good.
And they even do the cool, when I was a kid, I couldn't understand it, but those things that Sam Raimi does where at the end of this movie, this happens, and at the beginning of the next movie, he recaps it and changes it, and you're like, what am I supposed to believe here?
Right. That was tough to deal with.
Yeah, he even does that in the show. Like almost every episode, he'll have the last couple minutes, they'll do something, and then they pick it up at the next episode, and you're like, that's not what they did a week ago. It's totally intentional. It's awesome.
So, yeah, Hellraiser, is, as we were saying, Evil Dead, those were really great franchises. Chris, what's on your radar?
It's really hard for me to pick because it's the same thing we've been discussing this entire time. Like, I would have to say, oh, man, Nightmare on Elm Street, because I grew up with those movies.
And those are somewhat consistent too.
They
speaking of that idea,
some they are a little consistent. The you know, Freddy obviously got more outrageous and funny, and there was more humor and smart ass shit thrown in as they went.
Pump the prime time, bitch. Love that line.
But you know, first Nightmare on Elm Street, that's a classic. Okay. You don't really get a much better modern horror classic.
As far
than
as
that
mood,
movie.
Oh my god.
You know, Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, that's a pretty dark movie. Yeah. And the funny thing is, and you'll pick up on this when you watch commentary, that's a very homoerotic film. There's a lot of homoerotic stuff going on in Freddy's Revenge. Watch it again and you'll see it. It doesn't really get the due it deserves, but I think it's still a pretty good Nightmare on Elm Street movie. Obviously, Dream Warriors.
Come on.
Dude, it's so good.
I loved it.
I love it. No, I love it.
Yeah.
It, you know.
Just there was some, there was.
Well, you know, Freddie starts to take on that different persona in that one. I did like, I guess I kind of did the Hellraiser 3 thing in where they have all these alternate characters or whatnot. Like, oh, you've got the.
Well, they're all in their dreams. Yeah. This thing. I'm beautiful and I'm bad.
Yeah, but I think part of the reason I like Dream Warriors so much is that was the first one.
Dokken song, dude. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, the Dream Warriors. God, that song was. Yeah. But it would have been much higher register.
Yeah.
We saw Dream Warriors opening night. I think I was in eighth grade. And my dad, of all places, where does he take us to see it? Takes us to the fucking Beacon East on 8 Mile, dude.
I was there too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw it at like
maybe
midnight.
Maybe opening night. We might have been there the same
midnight,
time.
Midnight on a Friday at the Beacon East, and a brawl. I mean, huge brawl broke out in the middle of the movie. And my dad's like, you know, my dad was a bodybuilder. So my dad's like, stand behind me, kids. And it's just like, you know, I just have
somebody was talking during the movie. And somebody,
people were just shouting and yelling at the screen. Someone's like, shut the fuck up. No, fuck you. Shut the fuck up. And then next scene, you know, popcorn's flying and, you know.
I can honestly say I've never seen a fight yet.
Oh, yeah. It was bad.
I'm not saying it won't ever happen. I'm sure it
will. Well, with the crowd that was there, it would not have
been. That's a rowdy crowd.
It would have not been
very
shocking if somebody got shot. You know, that's the crowd that was there.
Did I say that last week, though? Because we went and saw. I don't know if it was last week I mentioned that. Maybe. I don't know if I'm on the same thought thread you are, but like we saw when we went to the theater to see Freddy versus Jason, for example.
The greatest story ever told.
Yes.
But we didn't go there going, we're going to sit here and be quiet and, you know, really pay attention. I mean, yeah, we're paying attention, but the whole crowd came in there. Half of us were plowed out of our minds already, right? We were there partying, watching the movie, and it was, that's what I thought made it so cool, though, was that there was some type of participation where we're like, oh, get him! You know, we're kind of rooting each other on and whatnot.
For those movies, that is expected, but it must have just been the wrong night.
It was the wrong, well, it was opening night, and it was just, it was out of control. But so I'll always remember that. You know, by the time the last one came around, Freddy's Dead and A New Nightmare, it got a little fucking stupid. But I still like all of those movies. There is something of value in every one of those movies. And Robert Englund, I mean, you don't get many iconic characters like that anymore. We don't have a Freddy Krueger anymore. We don't get that. And he always did a great job with that character. You know, even when they did the remake, I always thought, you know what? It's a remake. You should have had Robert Englund in it because he is Freddy Krueger.
Yeah.
You,
well, it's fucking insulting.
You can't throw somebody else in there and be like, oh yeah, you're taking
it
over.
They're doing the same thing with Hellraiser, the reboot of Hellraiser. They're not going to bring Doug Bradley in. I'm like, dude, that peanut butter, no jelly. What the hell's wrong with you? Come on, dude. No way.
If I had to pick an actual favorite horror movie of all time, best horror movie of all time.
You don't mind.
What's that?
You don't mind.
Nobody knows mine.
Well, then say it.
I Spit on Your Grave. It is the best horror movie. The original I Spit on Your Grave is the best horror movie ever.
Now I'm going to ask why, not because it is brutal, but is that?
Because it's brutal, but it was one of the very first movies that put a female protagonist in charge. And, you know, she took vengeance on those motherfuckers. And, you know, it was just, it's a depressing movie. It's a hard watch.
Yeah.
It's gory at times, not really gory, but it was original. It was original.
It was very original.
And they don't make movies like that anymore. Even the I Spit on Your Grave remake, the first one and the second one are both really good.
They are. Mm-hmm.
The third one sucks ass bad. They brought the chick back from the first remake. But yeah, I Spit on Your Grave is probably my favorite horror movie of all time.
I agree. That is a really good one. My ex-girlfriend, we would watch horror movies together all the time. And that was the only movie I can remember that she was like, dude, I can't. Like, I have to forward through this scene because it's just brutal.
I can't watch that. I can't watch half the shit in that movie. I have a real hard I think, did I mention that? I may have mentioned, like, the third season of The Sopranos, there's a rape scene.
Yeah.
And I've never seen it. I mean, I saw, like, the very beginning of it, and there's just something that how I'm wired that I can't watch shit like that. Like, Irreversible is another example.
That's
the,
tough,
the Gaspar Noé film. Fuck that. I can't watch that. So, and I can honestly say I've sat through that, and I spit on your grave, but it was very, my stomach was sick. I was sick.
Yeah,
I couldn't deal with it.
It's, you don't even feel right watching it. You feel guilty for watching it. The only thing that redeems it is that she does kill them all. If you had that movie without her revenge, it would just be, you know, you just can't make that movie. You can't watch it.
No.
But yeah, she, luckily, she's able to.
Yeah. And there are examples where, we may have talked about August Underground, the August Underground series here, which is fucking horrible. That, have you ever seen that?
No.
Yeah, don't.
Neither have I.
Don't.
It sounds like you and I, Kirsten, have put ourselves through the trash can of those films.
It felt like torture watching it.
It is torture, and that's Toe Tag Pictures, Fred Vogel out of Pittsburgh, I think, those guys do those films. Mm-hmm. As far as special effects are concerned, you don't really get much better as far as, like, raw props, gags. Guy's one of the best out there. It looks so frigging real. Mm-hmm. It's uncanny. Mm-hmm. But that's a film that has no justice whatsoever. Mm-hmm. There's just nothing there. Where I Spit on Your Grave has justice.
Yeah.
You feel at the end that, okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, good has won.
And even August Underground, I just felt annoyed the entire time.
It's oppressive.
Yeah.
It's oppressive. It's lumbering. I'm not saying it's bad, though. Mm-hmm. It's just not for me. I think, actually, to be honest with you, I think they were done very well for what they were trying to make with those films.
Yeah.
Just not for me. And, you know, I'm not like one of those people where it's like, well, good always has to win. Like we've said here before, I like a lot of films where they do end on a down note, right?
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting, and it's still a very interesting idea. But those films, the August Underground stuff, oh my God, dude. It's
Dude, a Siberian film?
Serbian film.
Why did I say Siberian? Serbian, oh my God.
Man, those
Siberian film? Right now.
Those
Serbian films, another one of those. It just has.
It's oppressive. I can't believe I said that.
Yeah. No,
I'm
going to
just fucking get in the corner
rough.
And fucking.
No, that's cool.
Kill
no,
myself.
A Serbian film. And,
I agree.
Yeah.
That's rough.
What, Serbian film?
A Serbian film,
it's horrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you see that one, Aaron? Or
no, I know about it. I kind of like avoided it.
It's an amazing movie, actually. It's done so freaking well.
If you're going to pick one, watch a Serbian film, not August Underground.
No, don't.
Well, I'd rather. I think I want to see a Siberian film.
This movie is very cold.
Serbian film is done. That was actually one of those ones. Me and a friend of mine, and I went a couple years.
Wait, you have friends?
Yeah, I have one. I think it's you, and you hate me.
I try.
One of my friends, we kind of went through this phase of let's just watch the most extreme movies we can watch. So this was like a 2-year thing where we were just battering ourselves emotionally, you know, trying to get through these movies. And a Serbian film was one of those ones we saw that I got to see on a 111-inch projector in my buddy's basement in all of its glory in the dark. Man. And the guy I'm talking about in particular, he's a sociopath. He's a full-blown, his name's John. I love that he's a good friend of mine. But he's a full-blown sociopath. He's one of the most evil people I know. But he's one of the coolest people I know, too. It's just this really weird, complicated
thing. Well, sometimes
thing.
Evil and cool go together hand-in-hand.
But this guy, who just has no emotions. I mean, I know this guy. He don't give a shit. He'll do anything, right? We finished that movie up, and he looked at me like with a dead stare. And he's like, that movie scarred me. You need to leave. Get out. I need to take a shower, and I just want to go be by myself for a while and try to remove this from my brain. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
Wow.
And that's the horror where you get, that's that whole like area of horror where, and it is extreme cinema, where you got people that are just pushing the envelope and pushing the envelope. Mm-hmm. Irreversible, I mentioned that a few minutes ago. And it sounds like you've seen that. Have you seen that one, Aaron?
Yeah, I've seen
That's got hands down some of the hardest to watch imagery I've ever seen, to be honest with you.
For sure.
That happens right at the beginning of the movie.
And it's one of those movies, it's hard to, you can't watch it twice.
No, you can't. I've seen it once and that's all I need to see. And I think that really that's what Gaspar was going for. Like, this is a piece of art.
Right.
And you're gonna watch it once and you're probably never gonna come back to it again. You know, which is what art kind of is, you know, you make it and you burn it.
Do you know what year it was made?
Irreversible? Yeah.
Probably 2004.
Okay.
Maybe.
Yeah. Something like that.
I'm going to watch it, and I'm going to come back to you and be like, why?
Yeah, it's a hard movie. Yeah. It's a really hard movie to watch.
And it's also it's a weird movie because they tell the story backwards.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So you see the first scene, and you don't know what the hell's going on or why.
Chaos.
And then the next scene will go on, and then that scene ends with the beginning of the first scene.
Yeah.
So it's all told backwards. You get the rhythm after a minute, but it's a strange movie.
Yeah, okay. Very strange. So as far as franchises, though, I've been kind of racking my brain. And of course, we went into this whole like disturbing cinema territory, so that totally blew me out. You have your classics. You have Halloween. You have Friday the 13th, which are to me. I mean, I know they've gone. How many? Where are they at now? Like 2000? Yeah, thousands.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
But they're, you know, and you were talking. And this idea is very intriguing to me, Aaron. The consistency idea. Now we do know, like, you know, Freddy or Jason Takes Manhattan and shit like that, or Jason in Space. Yeah, that got a little off the beaten path.
Right.
But those movies between, you know, Halloween and Friday the 13th, they all kind of follow the same. They're kind of like AC/DC. You kind of know what you're going to get when you buy an AC/DC record.
Yeah.
It's the same idea.
For the most part.
Yeah.
There are good things about, like you were saying about, what was the
Nightmare.
One? Yeah, even with the crappy parts, they're still redeeming things about those movies. But then you get into like, what was there was a Friday the 13th, maybe part 5, where they went into comedy for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And they have these goofballs out there playing paintball in the woods, and they're getting killed. Like, it was so unnecessary to make it funny, and it that's, I would say that's even worse than like Jason Takes Manhattan.
Yeah.
Or Jason in Space.
Yeah, Jason X. It's
like in those movies, especially Jason X, you know, they're saying, well, what can we do that we haven't done before? So they're at least being ambitious, even if they're kind of missing the mark, putting him in space. But with the comedy one, it was almost like a pre-Scream self-parody.
Yeah.
And it was not welcome.
Yeah,
I can't remember which one that was, though.
We already mentioned Alien. I personally think the first three.
I think they're great.
They're great. And a lot of people love the shit on Alien 3, let's just call it. A lot of people love the shit on that. And I'm like, dude, that was brutal.
I love it.
It was insane.
At the time, I think I was 17 when I saw Alien 3, I had never seen a more bleak movie. There was nothing like it. Not only do you completely erase all the victory they had in the second one and killing all those characters in the opening credits, which made me want to cry, you know,
like
3 minutes in. It's a total bummer.
But when you know pretty early on that she has the alien inside her, and you know that there's only one way this can end, she's going to fucking die at some point.
Yeah.
It becomes the most depressing, but also an awesome movie. It becomes the most depressing movie I had ever seen at that point. And, but I still love it. Yeah. I love that weird doom and gloom tone that you know there's no way to win, but there's still going to like.
There's still going to be some type of victory
coming
out of it. And that's, you know, it's very impressionable the very end of that when they're walking the one surviving prisoner out.
Yeah.
And he kind of, you know, they got the guys in the suits and stuff, and they're walking him out, and he just stops from it and kind of turns around and looks at his old home.
Mm-hmm.
And he just kind of, you know, and of course they, yeah, good girl, ah, fuck you, and they throw. But it kind of ends in a calamity like that, like that way. But I thought this is how I pictured how a movie would end like that. But yeah, you're right. There is, it's actually it's a mixture of emotions where, we're going to lose Ripley. This sucks.
There's nothing
we can do about that. But also, we're trying to stop this virus from spreading too. And that's where the real victory come from, I think, in that movie. Brilliant. Those first three, of course, we've mentioned 4. Oh God.
I also like those kind of endings because it's a little bit more realistic.
It is.
You know, because a lot of movies have happy endings. They always got to end leave you feeling good.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just nice to, you know, like, oh shit, like this girl's gotta die.
Yeah.
And there's not gonna be some magical happy ending.
Right.
No. Like, she's gonna die and it's gonna suck, but it's realistic.
Yeah.
Right. At least, hey, at least you got her for three movies, man. Yeah. We have to be satisfied with that.
Yeah.
At least we thought until 1997 when they came up with the abomination of the fourth one. But the other thing that's great about the third one is these guys who don't care about her, don't know her, they despise her at first. Mm-hmm. They all end up saying, oh, great, you know what? Let's do what we have to do. We're all going to die.
Yeah, we have a common goal here.
Yeah, let's beat this thing. If we kill it, if none of us survive, at least we can get rid of this thing.
Yeah. That thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, with Charles S. Dutton just killing it in that movie.
Yeah.
But those first three are great. The fourth one, of course, is horrible. It was the most disappointing movie I'd ever seen at that point.
I don't know if you can wrap the Alien vs. Predator stuff in with that also. The first Alien vs. Predator I thought was really cool.
I feel like the first ones are always good.
Right. Well, it was a really cool idea. It was a lot of fun. They did tie all that stuff in. I mean, I got no problem tying it in, but I did see Requiem. After
Requiem, oh god,
yeah, that was pretty bad.
Piece of shit. You know, the problem
on
I had
New Year's Eve, that's how I started my year out, man. I was like, oh god, what a piece of shit.
You know,
this thing was.
The problem that I had with that first Alien vs. Predator movie was they fucked the continuity up right from the fucking get go.
Right.
Like, oh, the aliens were on Earth before, and blah 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 blah, and them and the predators did battle, and da da da, and they show the fucking pyramid and all this bullshit, and I'm like, never fucking happened.
Right,
I'm erasing this from my memory.
Right.
You just shit all over everything they did in those first Alien movies. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Fucking splatter shit everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they had set that in space, if they had taken it off Earth, it could have been fine.
Yeah.
But the concept of saying the aliens had been on the planet before, there wouldn't be any humans on the planet if the aliens had been here before. You know?
Good point. I just thought it was fun, but okay.
But there was some cool action. There was some cool stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
why I thought it was fun. I liked the pyramid also. I liked that. I did like the idea of the sacrificial chamber they had set up. I mean, all that, all the historical things they were trying to write into that story, I thought was fun and interesting. But yeah, part two.
What about, you know, the latest? What about Prometheus?
Prometheus.
I liked that one.
I liked it.
I know I have a handful of friends that just absolutely despise it, but I thought for what it was. See, the thing, and we've mentioned that here too. I know I when I found out Prometheus was coming out, being such a huge Alien fan, I immediately nerded out and more or less was on like the Alien fan forum, whatever they call it, mm-hmm. and I lived on that thing for about a year and a half before Prometheus actually, you know, came out. And it was, you know, all this speculation back and forth now, and people were pulling articles. I know the original Ridley Scott was quoted with saying, you know, this, and the original idea was this is going to be a prequel to Alien. Mm-hmm. That was the original idea.
Oh, yeah.
And over time, I mean, I don't want to say he was backpedaling, but I think, because we know over time with movies, things do change. Mm-hmm. Things that are out of your control, money, things, whatever. And after a while, you notice he started saying things like making comments like, this movie's going to have the same DNA as Alien.
Right. It takes place in the same universe.
The same universe, you know, and these broader ideas, right?
Right.
But the whole concept to me, which it's an amazing concept. And they even, you know, they didn't have to tell me that. I knew it already. They're like, this is a movie that's dealing with very, very big ideas.
Sure.
I mean, how we became what we are, that's a pretty gigantic idea. And I think just based on that scale, like that kind of scope, that's going to be a fun movie no matter what you throw at. But and then also it's a beautiful movie.
Right.
You see it in 3D. It's so pristine to look at that. The space shots alone are just they're numbing to see.
Mm-hmm.
So there's part two. They're working on part two right now, and there's been three or four different working titles for it.
Well, it's actually going to be called Alien Covenant.
Now, so this is where it's going now.
It's going, they're going Alien now.
Because the idea was going to be, before that, the original idea was they were just going to call it Paradise.
Right.
Because, I'm not trying to spoil anything, but if you buy, the nerd that I am, if you buy like the super deluxe limited edition 400 disc set of Prometheus that I bought the day it came out at full price, like an idiot. Yeah. It had all the, and that was the one thing that did piss me off about that movie, was it's a 2-hour movie. There's an additional half an hour, 30 minutes of deleted scenes in the box set. And they literally build this box, like this DVD, Blu-ray set, whatever it was, and by saying questions will be answered. Why couldn't you just answer the questions in the goddamn movie, right? Yeah. But that's how they sold.
That's how they sell more shit. Man.
I know. It's America.
It's called marketing, motherfucker.
I know. It's America. We sell bullshit for a living. So, fine. And I did enjoy the hell out of the deleted material. And there are some cuts in there where specifically the actual engineer that they wake up says, you know, they're like, where are you from? And he's like, well, I'm from paradise. That's, you know, that's all he said. That's the only thing he did say. And they cut it out of the theatrical cut of the movie. And that's what I read up on that. And they said, we're going to do a part two and we're calling it Paradise. Because that's, as we know at the end, they take off into space, right?
Well,
so now they've changed all that. Now they're just going to hook it right into the fucking Alien franchise.
Yeah, basically, Noomi Rapace is Repis Rapace, whatever the fuck her name is.
Rapace, I think.
She's not coming back. She's off of it.
What?
Yeah. Yep. So they're
what the fuck? What? No.
Yeah. Yeah. Bullshit. No. She's
fix that.
Out.
Fix that.
Yeah.
Chris.
No. They're filming it in Australia right now.
We need her.
We need
her.
We need. Yeah. It's a crock of shit. I'm rooting for her now. Come on.
Yeah. She's out of it. Fassbender is back as David, and
hot.
The movie is
total man crush all day long, man.
Yeah. Alien Covenant.
The next James Bond. That's my prediction. Go ahead.
You know, I don't know who should be James Bond. Actually, I'm so pissed off at Daniel Craig for leaving.
He's not going to leave. Do you think he really is going to leave?
Yeah, he's done.
He really is done.
Yeah, they're talking about casting.
That makes me sad. I want him to do one more.
After the way Spectre ended, they need one more movie with, you know, oh, we finally have revealed who the big villain is.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we need one more.
Yeah.
But no, he
so
hates,
he can die.
He hates him. He hates playing that character.
He signed on for it.
I mean, son of a bitch.
He auditioned at some point years ago. He should do one more. But maybe if they give him enough money. Okay, so
yeah.
So Covenant.
Yeah, I think it comes out in 2017 and they are going to
Without Noomi.
What's that?
Without Noomi.
Yep.
Bullshit.
We'll get her.
We'll get her. They're already filming, you fuckers.
We'll get her. I'm going to call her right now. I'll be back in a minute.
She was so good in that movie. She was one of the better things about the movie.
Yeah.
I really like her in general. My, you know,
I loved her in the original, the girl with the dragon tattoo, the actual Swedish version. So
yeah.
I'll kick the hornet's nest and all that, play with the fire. Yep. Those were fantastic.
With her. The girl who played with my balls.
That was part four.
The girl who kicked my balls.
The girl who fisted a dragon. Anyways, Kirsten, what is your favorite horror franchise?
You guys, Shrek. No, you guys... You guys took all mine. I was thinking, because I was going to say Nightmare on Elm Street. I was going to say Hellraiser. And we talked about Saw earlier. But
we can't take them from you. They can still be your favorite.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, well, those. Totally. Those. And what about It? Like the clown, you know, Tim Curry? Yeah.
It's just one movie, though.
It was one movie? Okay, I was going to ask, because I felt like there was a second one.
Well, it was like a miniseries.
Okay. Yeah, because after you said all mine, I was trying to think, and I'm only thinking of where it was, you know. Okay, Hostel, I really liked the first one. I hate the rest of them.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I was pissed at the first one because I'm like, okay, so they paid to kill somebody, and the first thing I said was, I want to know more about the business.
Do you want to
And they
know
talk
more?
About that in the next couple.
Actually, no. You know what? I didn't watch the second one. I watched the first and then the third one.
Well,
so
but you get that same idea as they talk about that in the second and third one, like what the business is, right?
Yeah.
And like the rules and all that stuff. That was what I was more interested in with Hostel, was not just, you know, I want to know what made this business run.
Yeah, I really liked the first one because I remember watching it. Yeah. I've only watched it once because after I watched it, I was like, shit, man, like, I don't want to go. Was it Russia that they were in? And I was like, man, I don't want to go there.
Like Slovakia.
Slovakia or something. I don't know.
I was also thinking.
Slavic City. Yep.
Slavic. Okay.
I was also thinking The Fly, Jeff Goldblum. Yeah. Nice. That was really good.
Yeah.
The second one was cool,
too. The second one was cool also, yeah.
Yeah.
Talk about that was another, just like, dripping, gooey, gross. Gore fest. It made just, like, the lot like the first one where it was just like, you know, every time they popped out of the friggin' time machine, it was just like some horrible friggin' just gelatinous thing that was like moaning.
Yeah. Oh, the early experiments.
Yeah, the early one. Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Hostel Part 2 was not that bad. It was almost as good as the first one. But Hostel 3, that was a direct-to-video one.
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was just...
I mean, it wasn't terrible, but... Way to go, Chris. Hey, Chris, turn off your phone.
I'm looking shit up.
I should probably watch People the aren't second calling one me. Then, but... Yeah, I don't know why I watched the third and not the second. I think I was with some other people, so I just ended up watching it somehow. Yeah. But I didn't care for the third one.
I want to throw this in. I'm sorry, Kirsten, but I don't want to forget this now. And I had to work this in at some point because you're gonna know why here in a second, Chris. So John Carpenter did what he called his Apocalypse Trilogy. We may have mentioned this before, which was Prince of Darkness. I'm sorry, The Thing, Prince of Darkness, and In the Mouth of Madness. I know it's not really a franchise, but it was more of his idea. They were all Carpenter films. He wrote the scores to all them. They were all his films. He had the same vision. They were different stories, but they all circled around the same idea of some type of apocalyptic event, right? And Prince of Darkness, as I've said here before, is my all-time favorite horror movie. Because I don't know if you've seen that before or not. It's a sleeper. I highly recommend it. And, you know, it's 1987, so there's a little bit of cheese flying around, but it's the idea behind it, and I don't want to screw it up for you. The concept behind it is mind-blowing to me. It's so cool. I don't know if that's considered necessarily a franchise, but it was a vision that Carpenter had, and we all know how great.
Sure. It's all the same director. Yeah. It's all the same sort of vibe or concept.
Yeah. And they all had the same feel to them, the same look. You know, now, The Thing was a remake. But he kind of put his spin on it and then took it to Prince of Darkness and then In the Mouth of Madness. And I thought that's another one of my personal favorites is those three movies.
In the Mouth of Madness is so good.
That's fucking hard to watch, too. It's really great. And there's
that one, haven't you, Aaron?
That's some very disturbing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you need to see that movie. Shit, man.
That's heavy.
That movie will fuck you up.
It's hard to watch, man. Yeah. I saw that in the theater. It was like, me too. Holy crap, man.
Is that Treat Williams or Sam Neill in that?
Sam Neill's in it.
I was getting them mixed up.
Yeah, I could see that. But yeah, it's a good movie.
I'm sorry, Kirsten. I kind of stomped all over you. I'm going to shut my
flapping hole. No, that's all. I was. You guys took most of mine, so you stomped over me earlier. You took them all. Anyway,
we stole your idea.
Bunch of assholes.
One we haven't mentioned somehow. My favorite, at least the first one, my favorite horror movie of all time. And some of the other ones were pretty good. Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Holy shit. Yeah. The hell's wrong with us? Yeah, the first one, you talk about absolute, I mean, we're talking about mood a lot. There's some cuts from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I don't remember what part of the movie it's in necessarily, but there's a scene where one of the girls is like, you know, she's there and they're all fucking with her, right? Mm-hmm. And she just like passes out.
Yeah. Yeah, towards the end.
And then she wakes up again and she like, oh my God, was it a dream? And then they're like, no, it wasn't.
They're all still there staring at her around the table.
That's like the worst shit ever, man. It's like that scene alone is enough to like tie that movie up for me. Like, okay, that's like complete, again, oppressiveness. That's despair. You're not getting out of this. Yeah. You're not, you know, she kind of does. That's the same
kind of, but
kinda, yeah.
Who will survive and what will be left of them? What? She's got nothing. She's mad for the rest of her life.
Yeah. And talk about groundbreaking. I mean, that movie was one of those. I mean, and I've watched it. There's a really great documentary on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There's probably a couple, I think, but I saw this one. And it was just, you know, we don't know what the hell we're doing. We had no clue what we're doing. We just came out there and just made a mess of a place. We didn't know what to do. Those are my favorite stories about movies like that. Because usually when you have a film that groundbreaking like that, that's the same story, which I think it's a great story. Like, we just didn't know what we were doing, and we just came out and did what we thought would work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking with a friend about this idea. We were just like trying to figure out why no new concepts really come up or why no new great horror movies have come out. Mm-hmm. And it's because, well, we were saying, back in the day, you know, like, they based it off of the time, like, the horror at the time.
Yeah.
You know, like, people back in the day before cell phones were huge, that didn't matter. So they would, like, go to camp and, you know, oh, like a serial killer. And now we were trying to figure out what the horror is now at the time. At this time, and I'm just like, what? Like, financial instability, no Wi-Fi, and terrorism. Healthy relationships.
Like, terrorism.
And because I was saying, like, I would really love to write a horror movie where, because it's also that the people are so dumb that the serial killer is going after. Like, the teenagers are awful. And, like, why can't someone make the victims smart, but, you know, the killer's still smarter, and you know, none of them
Well, raise the bar. Yeah. You know, like, okay, let's make everybody just a bit, smarter.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I still don't want any of them to live. I want all of them to die.
You have that. I mean, sci-fi. When you have battles in sci-fi films, these are all like, this is high-tech shit. Mm-hmm. You know, you have one side that has all this high-tech shit. You have this other side that has all this high-tech shit. These are all very brilliant people, and they're all trying to one-up each other to win the battle.
Yeah.
That's the same thing with a horror movie, essentially. You have two forces battling each other. But yeah, in the classic horror films, we all know, it's like, okay, you're running and you fall down, and then you turn around and start walking on your back, going,
And he is around the corner behind you. Yeah.
Get the fuck up and run. Get the hell out of there. You know, it's only a house.
Yeah. Like, you're running full speed. The killer's walking slow. He's still going to get you.
Yeah. It's only a frigging house.
That's why Cabin in the Woods was so cool, is because they're like, they're actually giving you a reason why all that stuff is happening.
Beautiful.
Like, you know,
beautiful.
Mood-altering drugs.
Yeah.
Confusing them, separating them with trick doors.
Yeah.
And,
beautiful,
you know,
movie.
All
beautiful.
That stuff.
Absolute.
That was a good
movie.
One. Yeah, I did really cool. like that one. I didn't think I was going to like it that much, but I forget who
Same
brought
here.
Me to the theater, and I left it, and I'm like, wow, that was
Just
really
ass.
Fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that movie, too. All right, let's wrap this shit up.
I could do this all freaking night.
Thanks I know,
for
me
out
too.
Tonight, Aaron. This is a lot
Thanks
of
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Practice safe sex. Wrap it up. Right. Don't risk it. Wrap your biscuit.
Oh, my.
This is Chris with themoviesleuth.com. If you have questions or concern, email me at chris@spoilerfreemoviesleuth.com. With that,
I'm going to go buy some condoms now.
Sweet.
I'm going to get some fake blood, and I'm coming to your house.
Kirsten, what are you going to buy at the store?
Shrek DVDs.
This episode of Real Crime was brought to you by KN Air Filters. Find them at knfilters.com.
Visit us at www.themoviesleuth.com and find The Movie Sleuth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and iTunes.